The following is a Stick Boy We Talk production.
The following contest scheduled for one fall.
I am the man.
If you're the man, what the rock is talking. Woo! The best there is.
What it is, what it do. Welcome to the One Fall Podcast. I'm Joshua Adelaide Martha from the Fresh Take Network, and from the Stick Boy Network, the ultimate babyface, Mr. Joel Johnson.
How goes it?
Joel, it is going good. It has been an interesting few day in wrestling?
Yeah, I'd say probably. I would say there's been like little spurt, like small news that's popped up that's not quite break the glass, do a podcast, but it's kind of built up over time. And now today we definitely have break the glass podcast worthy show, especially with the confirmation of one of the biggest free agents in pro wrestling and where he's gone.
Yeah. So All Elite held their rally tonight, I guess we can call it. And I had the pleasure of watching it. You were, well, I guess, unfortunately, at the losing affair of the Calgary Flames tonight for that game. But nonetheless, aside from that, I got a chance to watch it. And it was very interesting how everything was done. They introduced a lot of new talent. I think that you'd have to be the most hardcore of fan to know pretty much 50% to 75% of the talent they introduced today. Because I don't know a lot of them, and I'm interested to gauge your information on how much you know. But Kenny Omega has officially joined All Elite Wrestling. He's an executive producer, and he is exclusive and full-time to All Elite, which seemingly means the end of Japan for Kenny Omega.
Which is a shame.
I got it right! Yes!
I don't know how much you got right. I'm surprised. I wonder if it was done with a storyline in mind, and then it just kind of became like, well, I guess that's it.
You never facing Tanahashi again.
It's very weird that's it for them. You'd think that there would be more down the line. And it's very apparent that Ring of Honor is going to be doing further dates with New Japan. They've announced their tour in May, one of which will be hitting Toronto. So you kind of stand to look at it all and go, well, I guess Kenny Omega is no longer. The last Omega match will be Tokyo Dome.
Yes, it will, which is, you know, pretty crazy to think about. But anyways, so the executive producer, I'd like to say we're surprised on that, Joel, but I don't think we're really surprised. But it's just, a news bit that we have to add to it all.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I thought he was vice executive.
Something like that.
Yeah, so he's not quite up on the Bucks and Cody's level, and I don't think he wants to be. But the simple fact is he's a big part of what the success or failure of All Elite.
Yeah, and he set up a new angle. He's going to be facing Chris Jericho again, it looks like.
I think that's smart.
Yeah.
My thinking is you have him. Oh, he's executive vice president. So he is an executive vice president.
Yeah.
So he is. So essentially, he'd be on the same par as the Bucks and Cody. Maybe one step more or less.
I think once Marty joins, Marty had a humorous tweet tonight saying, like, I thought you were ghosts. So I'm assuming once Marty joins the company, maybe he'll be the same. But I mean, I guess Hangman isn't any executive level. So who knows? But I guess I guess my point is at least Kenny is one of the founding members of the original Elite. It was just Cody's vision to make it all bigger.
Yeah. It's definitely very interesting to see this all come together. I think having Jericho and Omega is another money match that you can run. It helps establish the show, and it's a nice little buzzworthy show match to have. Two guys from Canadian fighting it out in Vegas. Doesn't need the title, doesn't need anything really to build it up other than this is Kenny Omega and Chris Jericho too. Makes me wonder if Jericho's going to get the win.
I actually was going to get to that. I think Jericho is going to get the win. I think this is the feud this year. I think it's Jericho and Kenny. I think this is why Jericho came, because you're going to get a lengthy feud with Kenny Omega. The question will be, like, what Jericho's involvement will be with New Japan Wrestling going forward. Like, what is that match now going to be? Now that we know Kenny Omega is officially removed, now we can start speculating what the match is for Madison Square Garden, and you have to assume Chris Jericho was involved in that main event, possibly.
Yep. I mean, Jericho's gone all the way with, he said he'd never work for a company other than Vince, and that's all been blown out of the water, which is fine. Tanahashi and Jericho could absolutely headline MSG. Ideally, it's way too early to have Okada and Tana go again.
Yeah.
Though that would be a nice little thing. Naito's thrown his name in the hat. Jay White could have the title for all we know.
Yeah, that's what day is that? That's Saturday night?
I believe so. I believe that's Saturday night.
Saturday night to Sunday morning.
I believe so, but I'll have to take a look and just be able to confirm.
Yeah, we'll check that at the end.
But the one thing with all of this is we no longer will get Okada versus Omega. Omega's beat him for the title, and Okada's never going to be able to beat him for that title, not at least in the foreseeable future. I imagine this is a 3-year deal for Kenny Omega.
Yeah, he said he signed the contract, whether you want to believe it or not, that he signed the contract heading right out the curtain. So whether you want to believe that or not, I mean, we saw that with Chris Jericho was the case, so I can't say that or doubt Kenny would be wrong on that.
I imagine that paper to ink happened today.
Yeah, I would agree.
I imagine they probably, it very well could have, everything could have been just, see, the thing is, they could have agreed on everything and it's just a matter of signing. I can't see them negotiating into this press conference.
I would agree with you on that. So Kenny signs, that's one of the matches. The next match that we seemingly have right now, and I haven't got any of the major details, is we set up the tag team division. The Best Friends are there. Anything you really want to add on that? We kind of thought that was coming. Good addition for those two.
Great little addition. I think Trent and Chucky T can absolutely do a great job. And it's another solid addition to help round out this roster. Both those guys can be both single stars and tag team. So it just established that you have guys that you can have be singles wrestlers, and you can have guys that can be tag team wrestlers. Like a
interesting
unit.
Sorry to interrupt, Joel, but interesting note too, he did not call himself Chucky T. He called himself Chuck Taylor. And now you want to know why that is interesting.
Why is that interesting?
Because they had that Nike swoosh at the beginning, and guess who owns Converse and the Chuck Taylor name?
Who
Nike
owns that?
Does. Nike owns it.
Oh.
So that I'm not confirming anything. I'm just saying, like, it's very interesting that he's saying Chuck Taylor again, and I don't know if they're sponsored by Nike, but they've had Nike stuff on their shirts and whatnot. They're a little bit interesting on that at the very least. Maybe the Cons went to Nike and be like, can we call him Chuck Taylor? I don't know, but he had not called himself Chuck Taylor for what, at least 2 to 3 years? He said Chucky T.
Yeah, I'm not sure on the exact logistics of it.
But it's mainly been Chucky T. You haven't heard Chuck Taylor for a while. And he called himself Chuck Taylor tonight, which I found interesting just as a sneakerhead. But anyways, I digress from that. The main point was, get those in. The Bucks said that their goal is to have tag team wrestling to a point where it can headline and be a main event of a pay-per-view, which I was like, yeah, that absolutely can happen. I don't know why that's a big deal. But anyways, then the Lucha Bros came out. They did an attack job on them. It has not been confirmed if they're in AEW or just doing the show. Meltzer had reported earlier this week that they can make show appearances. We just don't know right now if they are part of the AEW roster or just appearing at Double or Nothing.
I think right now it's an appearance at Double or Nothing, but I imagine depending on one of the other stories we'll get to, depending on how that lawsuit goes, I could see them signing with All Elite and doing stuff there.
But still staying with news that we know of more mainstream names, we had Pac and Heyman Page showdown, and Heyman showed up fully clothed, not in ring gear.
Not full gear. Can't go full gear anymore. You don't have the body for it.
So that was the main thing. And then the women happened.
Well, I got a question because I missed it. Did they show Christopher Daniels' face or did he have it covered up?
They showed his face.
Okay. I just wanted to see that tooth. That whole tooth has damaged how many times we can see Christopher Daniels' face.
Also, by the way, Chucky T and Beretta came out dressed like Scott Hall.
Really?
They both had like the full like jackets on.
It was pretty
amazing. Would you want to talk about the women or the cross promotion stuff next?
Well, we go wherever.
Let's talk about the women because they'll be shorter. The cross promotion one's a bigger deal. The women, they were chanting for Tennille Dashwood, which is Emma. I think that everyone wanted a name that was recognizable tonight. And they did not get that for the women.
You can't get Emma because she's on the
contract. ROH, right, yeah. But yeah, the fans were chanting for Tennille Dashwood. I think people just wanted a name they recognized for the women. But they didn't get that. They got, if you know these names, Joel, cool. I just have never heard of any of these women. So we have the two women that we've had from Japan. Aja Khan is one of them. Just say yes or no if you've heard of them, Joel.
No.
And then the other one was Yoka Sakazuki.
Nope.
And then we also had Kaylee Ray.
No idea.
Yeah. But there was another woman they added, but I can't see where her name is on any of the All Elite or Western Observer stuff. So they introduced four women. I can't get her name. But just because I don't know their name doesn't mean they're going to be really good and really talented workers.
Yeah, it's a wait and see. And I mean, that you're going to have that process with All Elite Wrestling. This is going to take a couple of years to really build a foundation. And I think once you've built that foundation, you'll be good. But, you know, people are getting involved in this. People are hearing things and they're starting to sign. And maybe this division, you look at it. What was the name from the NXT women's division that you really knew between... You didn't know you
Charlotte. Yeah.
And that the only reason you knew about her was her last name.
Yeah.
Everyone else, Becky, Bailey, and Sasha, all had to build themselves up. Not saying that any of these guys are going to be exactly like that, but you don't need to always know who they are for them to make an impact, because you will learn about them eventually.
I thought maybe like a Babe Paisley would be introduced, you know, Ospreay's girlfriend. I thought maybe they bring in her. I thought just maybe getting a brand name for the women's division would help, but I guess Britt Baker is more or less that name for the women's division. That's fine. Like, what I got from Kaylee Ray is she has a kind of Bailey personality to her.
Yeah.
Seeing some of her wrestling, she looks really good. I can't comment on the Japanese wrestlers, but I'm sure they'll be fantastic. Also, with the SEU segment, they introduced from the Chinese company they had. They did a video package introducing them and what they bring. So that was really cool as well.
I think that's going to be this sneaky addition to this All Elite Wrestling that helps push them forward.
Absolutely. Last roster addition before we get to a little bit of other little notes from Double or Nothing. They added Jimmy Havoc 2 days ago before this event. And... big time hardcore wrestler, probably going to do stuff with Joey Janela and maybe Dean Ambrose if he ends up there.
Yeah, I think, I mean, you sit there and you think, you think of good names to get. Havoc has a lot of good, has a buzzworthy name right now in the indie scene. I think he's a good talent. He has ties to Marty. So it's just one of those things where it's just smart little additions to help pad out your roster. It doesn't need to get bloated. It just needs to be a decent roster to help you get going as you add other teams. As rumors have kind of circulated that Dean could join All Elite Wrestling, the Usos could potentially join All Elite Wrestling. So it's one of those things where you may have more names at the roster may be even more stacked by, but the roster could gain some really great additions coming in this year.
And I want to talk about those. By the way, the other female wrestler introduced was Nyla Rose.
No clue.
Yeah. And again, That's not a bad thing. It just means that there's more people that we're going to learn and start loving in this industry. They did a good job. They're like, because when they build up Kylie Rae, they're like, one of the hottest free agents out there. And I'm like, geez, who is a free agent for the women?
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know. Like, I mean, maybe there was something from the Mae Young that I didn't know. And I was like, well, that would probably be Mia Yim. Or I thought possibly the woman that played Winter. Maybe they got Gail Kim out of retirement. Maybe they got Awesome Khan. But they have these ladies. I'm not going to comment on them. I just thought maybe they'd have a bigger name for the women. But if they're building up from the ground up, these women could be really, really good. Brandy seemed very confident about it. So I'm going to trust their vision for the women.
Yeah.
The big news for them, though, is they are partnering with AAA.
Yeah.
Which is very interesting. So now, kind of like, you know, WWE has stuff with Progress. And they've kind of dipped into other panels. They've done a big job of going into one of the biggest spots in Mexico. And also with the Chinese delicacy. But dipping into AAA was a very nice addition for them to do. AAA's had deals in the past. I think at one point they had something with WWE, like way ago. But for sure they had a deal with TNA at one point and Global Force. And now they're going this way with AEW. So a nice connection for them to get.
Yeah, absolutely. Another thing that helps... You're not gobbling these companies up. You're not trying to replace these companies. You're not going to war with these companies. You're working with these companies, which can help lead to other good talent sharing. The promotion out in China is another good example. Like the synergy that you could have. And I think I'm trying to remember which promotion that AEW is pairing up with in Japan. I think it's DDT, but I could be wrong. But they could potentially be pairing up with some sort of promotion out in Japan. So it's really, it's not about taking over. It's about working with other established brands out there.
And, yes.
And use their guys for your shows and then have your guys do shows there, getting almost a cross-pollination. So it's kind of like when you travel the indies, but you can travel the indies all in the safety of AEW, bouncing from these different spots, traveling and learning, and then coming back to All Elite and potentially being bigger stars for your company.
And it's kind of in a way like them having a developmental or NXT for them, not the shit on AAA or anything. They've had a few rough years with Triple Mania, let's be honest. But what I mean by that is, if you don't like where someone is, you can send them to these other territories now in China, AAA, and let them build themselves up that way and try different things instead of just being on the AEW stage. And that doesn't mean just like talent that we don't really know, right? That also means maybe Cody starts a feud in AAA, or maybe the Bucks start a feud in AAA, for example, or this Japan promotion or this Chinese promotion. That's the really cool thing about dipping your toe into these other promotions.
Yeah, and it just helps. And it's, you can deliver it via All Elite Wrestling. Like you can find ways to get those matches to air on whatever your television or online that you can get out there. And then it creates word of mouth, and you can create some good buzz.
So the other and the last thing was the tickets go on sale. Pre-sale is on Monday, and then overall sale will be on Tuesday. There was ticket information on the website, but the website crashed, and they were very good during the broadcast. Like, stay tuned. We're trying to get this fixed and all that, and staying very communicative during the broadcast of everything.
And that's all you can do with stuff like that. I imagine they probably, because there's not much more than All In. So I imagine they're probably going to sell this one out as well.
Excalibur also did an announcement. So I'm wondering if Excalibur will be on the broadcast team.
I think that's probably a safe bet.
He's growing on me. I wasn't really a fan at first, but he is definitely growing on me. Conrad Thompson has said that he has nothing to do with AEW. And I guess we should get to his part now with the StarCast. Meltzer had said there was going to be some big gets. And when we saw Steve Borden, Sting, we're like, okay, yeah, it's a big get. We know he's still on the Legends contract with WWE. But then they got Bret Hart.
Calgary's own Bret the Hitman Hart.
Who's going in the Hall of Fame, apparently. So that was a big get for StarCast, and it wonders where the line is towed for StarCast.
I mean, if they got enough money, they could get Taker.
Yeah, apparently. I mean, we wanted to have a wrestling convention, now we could technically get Taker.
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting time. I think Taker's done.
Yeah, well, if he's taking booking fees like that, I guess it's a weird situation where you could see The Undertaker at WrestleCon, not at Access. Not that he was ever at Access, but...
Yeah, if someone's dumb enough to pay him his and you know that fee's only for an hour of work, right?
Exactly.
So
anything else left with AEW at all?
No, I'm excited for the card, how it's shaping up. I think they got some good matches. It's going to be interesting to see the production value and how everything looks and feels. I imagine this will be on Fight exclusively, but it's going to be interesting. It's going to be their first foray without Ring of Honor and without Japan. So this is a big test for them.
And good call by you. You said there'd be no TV deal, and there still was no TV deal. Like we, you and I have discussed off air, there is no major rush for a television deal right now.
Nope. You let the dust settle.
So no TV deal. So there's that. We built up to some feuds. So at least going into Double or Nothing right now, I guess best guess is that we have Jericho and Omega, the Bucks versus the Lucha Bros, Pac versus Hangman Page, and MGF versus Janela.
That would be my guess, potentially.
And no idea where Cody's going yet.
Cody doesn't have to do anything on this show, honestly. Cody can...
He will, but he doesn't have to.
Yeah. I could see a revolving door where one of these guys don't wrestle. Cody, yeah. Hangman, Bucks, and Kenny.
So there's AEW. Night. And Jericho had mentioned this, like, we're not just going to go and get all these brand name talents. Just because Tyler Breeze leaves WWE doesn't mean we're necessarily going to go get a Tyler Breeze. They're going and they're digging down to the indies to find unique talent that the WWE or Japan or ROH hasn't found. And I'm really interested to see how they do it. The Bucks have gone to all these different places in the indie scene. They've obviously seen these. Britt Baker especially has seen some of these women and some of these other talents. So I'm interested to see how these new talent get introduced and how many of these new talents we'll be talking about at the end of the year for our year in review. I mean, will an Allie Ray, you know, right now, we're saying, oh, it's no brainer. We'll say our female wrestler of the year is Becky Lynch. Maybe we're saying Allie Ray is. Maybe we're saying the best friends are our tag team of the year. I don't rule any of that out of possibility.
There's a lot of possibilities right now, and All Elite Wrestling is creating a real buzz right now. It's the first time in a long time that you're, as a wrestling fan, it feels like Monday Night Wars. It's not a war, but it feels like it has war-like feeling.
DDP said it best. He's like, for the first time, the boys and the girls can breathe.
Yeah.
And I think what he means by that is, if you don't like where you are, Dean Ambrose, you don't have to stay around for it anymore.
No, Usos.
Usos, yeah. So let's talk about that. There is some speculation of some WWE talent, again, that maybe could be making the jump in the next year or so. So let's talk about that speculation before we get to the overall WWE news of the week. I'll let you lead that.
So there have been talks that the Usos contract's up in April. WWE really wants to sign them, and there's been really no word or anything on what the Usos are doing. They haven't re-upped with the company, and we're 2 months away from that. So it's a situation like Ambrose where you just don't know what's going to happen. I see the Usos staying, but if the Usos go to All Elite Wrestling and that's the Bucks' next feud,
yikes.
That's deadly. You suddenly raise the Usos' star. That could be feud of the year.
Do we know if they have the Usos trademarked?
Yeah. Nothing. I can't see them not having any of that trademarked.
Worst case scenario, they could just be the Fatus.
Yeah.
Worst case scenario. And Randy Orton was another one.
Yeah. Well, Randy Orton said he'd have no problem talking with All Elite Wrestling.
Yeah.
So he obviously, Randy wants more money. So that's how Randy's going to get more money.
Yep.
But
that's one I really want. Randy has literally, when you say someone has done it all, there's nothing else for Randy Orton to do in the WWE. Main event at WrestleManias, double digits for world titles, multi-time Royal Rumble winner, Money in the Bank winner, one Elimination Chambers. I guess the only thing he really doesn't have is the Universal title.
Oh,
and he's not getting near that anytime soon.
No.
So, I mean, if I were him, I mean, a chance to see Randy Orton versus Omega would be interesting. I have always been interested in seeing Randy Orton with the chains off.
Yeah.
that's what I just want, because I think Randy has the potential to be the best wrestler in the world when he doesn't have to do the chin locks.
Oh yeah, I think Randy could be a tremendous talent out there, and his name's Randy Orton. So mm-hmm. what are you gonna do? Stop? Yeah, it'd be interesting to see how they would handle the copyrights with all of that. But
yeah, we'll see. And I guess then also a weird two social media things that were not reporting it as truth. Just interesting. First, you talk about the Sasha, and then I'll talk about the Finn.
Oh, I think these are both
nothing. Absolutely, but we'll just talk about them just for fun, because everyone likes to jump on stuff right now.
So Sasha had posted on Mauro's page that she would like him to call one of his matches before she leaves. And there's always been rumors of Sasha not being exactly the happiest on the main roster, so maybe that's
right.
Maybe that's someone that could leave.
And then Finn just posted a bunch of pictures with AEW or wrestlers that have left. And the Good Brothers said something about, talked about bad booking on SmackDown this week as well.
Oh, really?
When they asked, why did the club stop? We got drafted to SmackDown. We said, we want to be with AJ. They're like, great. And after the show, we were no longer with AJ. And then we never came on TV. That's what happened. And they trademarked Good Brothers, Doc Gallows, Machine Gun, and Hot Asian Wife.
They're being smart. They're being very smart about all this.
So I think the Good Brothers are AEW bound.
Yeah. AJ has not confirmed when he's signed his new contract.
Yeah.
I mean, there could suddenly be a big influx of talent in All Elite Wrestling that suddenly raise it up to another level and really put pressure on Vince.
Can you just really quickly, if Randy Orton walked out during, we talk about Punk, and Punk is more of a pipe dream, but if Randy Orton walked out during Double or Nothing, that is literally the Luger moment from the Mall of America. That is the Luger moment, because that is a WWE guy.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Born, bred, raised in WWE. Has never been outside of it. It's him, Batista, and Cena. And Batista's gone outside in the sense of film, but he's never left the WWE as far as wrestling. Randy Orton going outside would be really interesting.
That would be the first major shot.
And the Usos, too, just with the history that that company has.
Yeah, both of those would be some bigger shots. And all right. it could potentially set things up. I don't know how Vince reacts. Suddenly contract negotiation becomes a lot tighter, because we've heard that Fox is curious on the ratings, and I think Vince and them are starting to get
to that. We're about to get to that. So conference call. I'm going to go through the cliff notes of this that I have laid out before Joel. So I'm just going to read little notes that I have and stuff. It's going to take us about 5 minutes or so to get through this. So I'm going to say something. If you want to make a comment, make a comment. If not, just say move on. Cool?
Yep.
Cool. All right. So the call was hosted by WWE Chairman Vince McMahon, co-presidents George Barros and Michelle Wilson. All right. Ready to go. Vince spoke about how they set financial records and said, we know what we're doing. He noted that they completed their television deals with Fox and NBCU. He said both parties will give them exposure. He touted the financial success of the Greatest Royal Rumble and WWE Showdown. He spoke about having some additional programming and noted that they held the first ever women's pay-per-view. So one of the key things that we definitely had hit on this was the success of the international pay-per-views and how well the first women's show did and how much that could be something that is propelled in the future.
See, they had success. But when you look at money, you know where all the money came from for those shows.
Yes.
And that's kind of like, it covers it up in a way. I'd be interested to see how those shows did individually, both network numbers and just gate and sales, especially the first all-women's pay-per-view, because that really didn't get a lot of build to it.
No.
It was a good show, but it didn't have a lot of build, so I'd be curious. It's one of those things where, record numbers, but things can decline.
Okay, Bearers and Wilson read through the financial presentation. Bearers cited Crown Jewel and Super Showdown as key drivers of revenue growth. Bearers gave extra attention to the live event extension. He was noted they ran fewer live events and chalked up running special events such as Crown Jewel and Super Showdown for the reason. Bearers noticed they do not intend to host a conference the day after Mania. So one of the things that had hit on financially, maybe we'll get to this a little bit in, here, is the numbers had dropped for house shows, but they're saying that the number had dropped because they had ran less house shows.
I don't know. I think you look at the attendance for Raw and SmackDown. I think attendance is down across the board. I don't think it matters how many shows. It's probably a better idea to run less, to be honest.
I would agree. Wheats opened up to callers. The first caller asked about any potential investments the company may make and also asked about the UK process. Boris spoke about local contract and localization of their current content. He said they will put more people in key international markets. He said they are still working on some key deals in some of their bigger markets and noted they won't release down numbers per market. He said they should have all their agreements in the markets done by the middle of the year.
Interesting.
The next caller asked about the matrix of having the second season of Mixed Match Challenge on Facebook Watch. The caller noted that it has not been renewed for a third season and also asked about the possibility of adding a third hour to SmackDown, something that was rumored today. So comment on it after I'm done, Joel. Wilson said they learned a lot about purchasing content for Facebook and said that Facebook worked closely with them. Burrow said they have produced 6 hours of live content on Mondays and Tuesdays. He mentioned Main Event at 205 Live. He said live content is valuable and said they have to think what's best for each platform and each piece of content. He said they are going to evaluate each piece of content to see how they can make it more or less just utilize it going further.
That's a lot of content. 6 hours is a lot to produce. And you kind of lose your focus with 6 hours of content. But, I mean, you're such a bloated roster, you have to do it.
Yeah, I don't know if they'll get to here in this from the notes I have because I clipped so much off. But I know at one point today, talking about stuff, there was the idea that SmackDown would be temporarily on Fridays, meaning it can move. And that they wanted to add extra content to FS1. So if that means NXT or some of the documentaries like a 24, I don't know. And then the third hour had been passed around as well.
I don't want the third hour. NXT on FS1 would be brilliant because I think if you're going to fight All Elite Wrestling and you're going to fight to grow ratings, I think NXT is your best chance at it. It's your silver bullet right now.
The next caller asked about All Elite Wrestling. Burrows kept his response brief by saying it's too early to get a feel for the impact will be, but stressed they feel they are the premier band in the world. Pretty standard thing. It's hard to disagree with him at this point on that statement. Any comment on that, Joel? No? Okay.
I don't know. They are the premier brand.
Yes.
But...
They won't know the impact until the TV and the shows start running in a more routinely basis.
Yeah, no, and that's perfectly fine. But are you the premier brand if you constantly put out meh products?
I think they are still, but you are noticing. I think it's silly of them to say there's no impact, because if there was no impact, I don't think you'd be seeing the exodus of talent wanting to leave right now for another opportunity.
And that's my thing. If there's more and more stories of talent looking at their options and really starting to weigh their options, that tells you everything you need to know. And if we start to see more people leaving, then it's like rats leaving a ship. The ship's not sinking, but the rats are like, the food's better over there, so I want to go over there.
A caller asked about WWE's business in China. Wilson mentioned their distribution partner and said they are delivering Raw and SmackDown in Mandarin. Cool. The next caller asked about the future of performance centers and new locations. Now, close to their open, Boris said they didn't have any announcement about any new markets. We had heard some buzz about a Japan market today, but nothing really seemed to have came out of that.
No, and I don't think they won't formally announce anything until it's set.
A caller asked about free cash flow conversation. Barrow said he was going to stay away from answering that while citing they need to finalize some of the right details.
I have no clue what that is, so... Carrying on.
The idea of NXT content airing on Fox was brought up by a caller. Barrow said, one of the big changes that happened over the last 10 years is that the company has become a bigger media company. He said the second monetization has came to multiple platforms. He said the question for NXT and other shows is what's the best way to have the fans consume it? He said it's not an easy call. The caller followed up and asked about the awareness of NXT aside from the network. Wilson brought up Halftime Heat and how it trended worldwide during the Super Bowl. She said that speaks volumes to the awareness of the NXT brand. The caller noted it was certainly better than the halftime show, which led to laughs.
Yeah, yeah. I think because it came up that Halftime Heat is the best viewed NXT product. And yeah. I think that just speaks to it was the perfect storm. I think it was very much a PWG match, so you get the hardcore fans. A lot of people had really no interest in the halftime show. It was a boring game to begin with, and I think it just cashed in at the right time.
I would agree. I think them getting into an FS1 would be smart. I think all this talk about having a third hour on SmackDown, you would be better either airing main event or making NXT the third brand, in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't think that third hour is beneficial.
I think maybe, and my idea is maybe making main event a more mainstream show where storylines that you couldn't get onto the other shows, you put on that kind of, you could kind of have an idea of a co-branded show. What would you think about that? And just having it as an hour, but kind of this co-branded show where storylines that can't exactly make it to Raw and SmackDown could meet on that show.
I don't know. Maybe, but it hasn't worked in the past. So
no, it hasn't. Just an idea. A caller asked about how other streaming services could affect WWE. Vince spoke about how unique WWE programming is and how that helps them. So pretty much Vince saying, shut the fuck up.
Yeah. I think you got endless content all around you. You got to take a look at everyone. And
yeah,
it is what it is. That's pretty well known.
A caller asked about Ronda Rousey and how damaged it would be if she left the company. Vince talked in this matter. Vince spoke about the company initiative to reach more women. Vince said Ronda becomes a brand of WWE and it's different than what you saw in UFC. Vince said Ronda can help make talent. She's doing just that. Vince said Rousey is one of the biggest people with that he's ever done business with. He said it's absolutely amazing the stature of athlete that Rousey is and human that she is and how quickly she's adapted to the WWE. Vince said athletes are not cartoons and people get hurt. Vince noted the absence of Roman Reigns and John Cena working a reduced schedule due to his movie career. Vince ran through a long list of injuries the company has endured this year and said that's not common for them to have so many. He said it's one of the reasons that television ratings and live events had dropped. He said there will be other individuals coming from different areas who will join us long term to help bring up numbers. So that's a lot to unpack there. Obviously, Ronda's talent as an athlete and as a draw, definitely well done. But did they really have a lot of injuries this year?
No, not really. I don't think that.
Like, who was really hurt this year?
Well, Roman had a bit of a rocky path.
Yeah, but Roman was on a majority of shows until
the
last 3 months.
Yeah. Braun was there through most of it. Braun didn't get hurt until the end of the year.
Charlotte missed 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Brian was there since February, and you butchered that. Finn was there. I mean, you didn't have Cena, but by now you should have been prepared for no Cena.
Yeah, you knew this was coming.
You had. I don't really know where these injuries were, and I think that's a lazy reason to make an excuse for live events and ratings being down. The live events and ratings were down because you booked like shit. Kevin Owens and Sammy being hurt obviously hurt them for sure. Those injuries were unfortunate.
Yeah, but how much did it really hurt the
knee? Exactly. Again, you're not booking those guys correctly.
Yeah. So
I don't know. I think it's a lazy excuse from Vince. I think Ronda is a great draw and power on all that, but that's a lazy excuse.
Yeah, no, absolutely a lazy excuse.
And then we have our final caller. The final caller asked for details about the next WWE, what's next for the network. Bear said they have a big reveal planned. He said they've talked in the past about things they can do and noted that it's an award-winning service. He said
things will come in stages and said they are excited about sharing the details in the future. They concluded the conference. So
that's the that's probably the structured and wrestling.
Yeah.
The tier system that they'll have.
That could possibly have impact on it.
I don't even. Oh, God. How many years have we been debating where Impact's going to go? And how many times have we wondered when it's finally just WWE gobbles the whole thing up?
Before we get out of here and we talk about, you know, just really quickly talking about the main things around SmackDown, just a few news and notes. Pat McAfee signed a multi-year deal with the WWE. People know him from Barstool Sports. He's been on NXT. He's been fine. I don't find him terrible. He's better than Sam Roberts or Rosenberg.
Yeah. Well, Rosenberg hasn't been around for a while, so it's been nice.
This is true. And then just injury stuff. Obviously, it was out there, but he debunked it. But there's rumors of AJ with a hernia. He's debunked that, so I don't know what to say. Sasha has been hurt, and that's why she didn't work any of the match the other day. And Seth is working with, I believe, a bad back, which is going to keep him limited off TV for a while and possibly not on Fastlane. Elimination Chamber, which just want to make sure that he's safe. And then Becky is a work.
Yep.
Guess we're talking about the Becky stuff really quickly here. That was the main issue for everything. They're doing stuff with hers and the McMahons, which the rumor now is that that leads to a match at SummerSlam versus Stephanie McMahon.
No, thank you. No.
It's very frustrating because you have this character, right? You have ROH, Japan, AEW doing a lot of great things, and they're building up from underneath you, and they're lighting a fire under your ass. And you have a character that is better than almost any character that any of these brands have right now. Super hot. Female character, which you've wanted this whole female evolution, and you got her. It's not Ronda Rousey. It's not Charlotte. It's not Sasha. It's Becky Lynch. And what do? You force the McMahon gimmick on her. You're going to force Charlotte into her match when it's just easy booking to get someone over and make them the biggest star in the company.
It's what WWE does, and that's why I maintain you may have record years, but eventually those numbers are going to start to take hits when you keep constantly put out bad product.
Yeah. Also, they're going back to Saudi Arabia.
Oh, skip that one. I have no comment on that.
Yeah, they're going back in May, so lovely. But don't worry, Becky, their hottest star, won't be on that show because she's not allowed to.
But yeah, no, I'm skipping over it. I'm skipping over the whole stupid thing.
Anything else that really stood out to you this week on WWE programming? Kurt Angle, yeah. With the weirdest tag rules. Joel, I've never seen double team moves in a tag team match. I've never seen an illegal man hit the legal man in a tag match. Have you ever seen that before?
No, apparently one of the people in the Revival said that. That's a long-standing rule where you can only hit a certain amount of double team moves, and then if you hit more than that, and you can only break up a certain amount of pins, there are rules to it.
Right.
But we've never been taught the rules, so that's why it's so weird.
I mean, Corbin knew it. He's the former commissioner, so he knew where the rules are, and he tried to let Strowman know. These are the rules. I was the commissioner. I read the rule book.
That was
probably the most insulting thing as a wrestling fan I've seen on TV in a long time. I get you want to get out of this. You don't want Strowman to lose. You don't want anyone. You want the big win for Kurt, I guess, at Elimination Chamber, but it was silly.
Yeah. Mustafa Ali had to go through concussion protocol.
Oh, yeah. He had a nasty shiner to his eye, but he took one hell of an RKO.
Yeah. What was it? He sounds like he's all good, but he definitely took quite the. I wonder where that was from Randy that got him like that.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Because it was building up during the match. I think it was Randy booted him at some point.
Right. We had another Mojo promo. I like where those are going. Those are cool.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens with the women's tag match. I am a little concerned about that match. That has the potential to be. Right now, my worst match of the year was that match with the Hearts and the Lucha Bros from MLW this week, because it was just misunderstanding of just catastrophe, but that Elimination Chamber, Joel, could be really bad.
I'm interested to see how it goes. I think the six-man Elimination Chamber is going to be really good.
Yes, so really good. But the women that are in that match, let's just say there's not a lot of super talented women in that. And who is facing Asuka?
I don't think Asuka is defending the title.
At Mania?
No, not at Mania. But
no, at, yeah, at Mania. I'm like saying, who do you think at Mania she's facing?
I have no idea.
Like, I have no, like, Carmella? Mandy?
I have no idea.
Maybe it's like a six-man with like Mandy and Naomi and Carmella and like the Iconics?
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know where. This is the one thing about the road to WrestleMania is eventually we're going to get a clear picture on everything, and either it's going to be nice or it's not going to be nice.
I will say, like, they've done a good job of, like, you know, the revival. The one thing they've wanted is to build the tag teams up. And they've done, the joke aside about the BS in that tag match, it's been actually not bad with the tag team. I like this idea of Nakamura and Rusev together. Maybe I'm in a minority of that. I think it might be best for both of them. It's going to be really good for Nak right now. I think Nak just needs something. And Rusev's such an entertaining personality that he brings it out of people. I don't think they ever should have let English leave him. But I think it could be this really cool international tag team. It worked for Rusev. I mean, it worked for Cesaro and Sheamus. Maybe it can work for these two.
Yeah, yeah. It's just one of those things where it just you have to try some things to get some guys going again. And it's good to have things like this just to kind of give things a go.
Absolutely. We know that the Dream chose to face Johnny Gargano for the title, so that'll be very interesting. They did I guess this isn't a spoiler, right? What we're about to talk about with NXT? Is it a spoiler?
I think it's a spoiler.
Okay, well, we're almost on the pod, so if you don't want to hear a spoiler, thanks for listening to the show. We'll be back next week with more great stuff here. So you have been warned, spoiler, 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 but kind of, not really. So they did the stuff at NXT where they film Dream winning the title, but then it looks like they also filmed another angle with Gargano winning the title and him and Ciampa celebrating atop. What do you make of this? Do you like it? Do you hate it?
I like it. It's nice to have not knowing what's going to happen. And it creates where you need to see the programming to find out.
I would agree with you.
Which is exactly what you want. Because a lot of times you will hear stuff and then you'll be like, oh, I'll watch NXT in chunks. Now it's like, well, I got to see this match. I got to find out who's the champion and where everything's going for NXT New York.
Absolutely. So we'll find out where that all goes. Halftime Heat, great match. We talked about that was tremendous. And anything else, Joel?
No, that's it.
So a very business-like episode of One Fall with the WWE conference call and then the rally for All Elite. Everything's kind of putting their ducks in a row. We'll have Elimination Chief. Let's preview New Japan quick.
Oh man, you caught me off guard.
I know. I just remembered that. That's kind of a big show. It's the last show before the MSG. What's the card called?
You completely caught me.
Is this New Beginnings?
I believe this is New Beginnings. There's another show before. Oh man, you.
I know. Sorry. I just remembered it because I remember at the beginning I was going to talk about it. Okay, got it. Ready to go?
Yep.
Okay, start at the bottom here. Liger's in action, Joel. Are you excited?
Nah.
So Juice and Thunder Liger faces with Kojima, and Tenzan takes on Suzuki, Takemichi Noku, and Takeishi Iizuka? Iizuka? Who do you like in that match?
I have no idea.
Evil and Sonata take on Yoshida and Yamano.
We'll go with Evil and Sonata.
It's an on-tag match title. Niato, Takagi, and Bushi take on El Desperado, Tucci, and Kanemura. Sorry if I'm butchering these names, folks.
Go with Naito.
Hashi and Homa versus Chase Owen and Takahashi. I guess that's Bullet Club, right?
Yeah, Bullet Club. I go with Bullet Club losing.
Yano and Maccabee versus the Tongans.
Tongans get the win.
And then the top of the card here, we have Okada versus Bad Luck Fale.
Fale wins.
Really?
Yep. Just Okada needs to fall a little bit more.
Then we have the junior heavyweight title. We have Ishimori versus Taguchi.
I'll go with Ishimori.
And then the heavyweight title, we have Tanahashi versus Jay White.
I'm going to go with Tana.
I mean, the Jay White thing is so interesting, but I guess we're really thinking that it's going to be Jericho and Tanahashi.
Yeah, I imagine they're going to want to keep the title on Tana heading into that. And you're wrong. The next big show is the New Japan Cup.
Right.
That will lead into the road to the New Japan. The New Japan Cup will finish on March 24th, and that will likely determine who challenges at MSG. So I think Jericho might be out of that one.
Right.
But then again, it's Chris Jericho. So
it is Chris Jericho. We have a superstar shakeup on the 15th and the 16th in Montreal.
Yay! Nice hot crowd for that one.
It'll be interesting because that'll be the one for Fox. And we'll see where everything goes.
No, it's in April. It's not for Fox.
Yeah,
Fox
but it's in October. They're not going to do another one more than likely, right? So more than likely, with the pattern they've been going, this will be the roster that goes to Fox.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. This will be the roster that goes to Fox. It won't be on Fox, but this will be the roster heading to Fox.
Yeah, and then just MLW results, just some interesting things. Tom Lawler is now their heavyweight champion. And Teddy Hart beat MGF to win the middleweight championship.
Well, MGF is on his way out the door, I guess.
So Teddy Hart has the middleweight championship now and has the tag titles with Davey Boy Jr.
Just a Hart with all the gold.
So I don't – do we – there was, is there something with AEW going on with MLW?
Nothing's been confirmed, but it seems like there's a little bit more – working availability.
I can imagine Kenny would want to work a Tom Lawler. It'd be a very hard-hitting match between those two.
See, that is the one thing that you get now. You can get some of these matchups that would be very interesting to see.
And we know that the Lucha Bros have been there quite a bit. So we got a really good, well, not, you know, I don't really good, but an interesting Japan card where, you know, there is the thought maybe Jay White could win that match. So we will see what happens to that. We will see what happens on Raw and SmackDown. Next week we'll be back to lead you on your way to the Elimination Chamber. Make sure you check out all the great stuff here on Stick Boy. For Joel Johnson, I'm Joshua Adam Lamar, Arbuthnot. Until next time, cheers.
Goodbye. And good night.
Enjoy the day, people.
Goodbye. And good night.